I call this true faith glorifies God. So Romans 4, starting in verse 17. And if you're able to, let's go ahead and stand for just a moment here, and we'll read down through this passage. Romans 4, 17. It says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, and the he believing is Abraham, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this evening and for our time that we can be in your word, the time we can pray together. We thank you for the power of united prayer. Lord, we know that praying by ourselves is a powerful thing and an important thing and an essential part of our Christian walk. But Lord, you tell us that when two or three are gathered together in agreement, there seems to be a real pull on your throne. And Lord, it's because we know your will, and your will is being done, and we thank you for that. But Lord, thank you now for the time we can spend in your word. I pray that you'd bless our time. Lord, I pray that you teach us all something, though it'll be abbreviated some here tonight. We ask that you give each one of us a truth, an idea, a thought, a concept that will help us to love you more, to know more about you, to be able to serve you. Lord, just guide in our time now. Give strength unto thy servant, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So the phrase I want you to see at the end of verse number 20, it says, but speaking of Abraham, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And so being strong in faith is simultaneous with giving glory to God. Now it's interesting, it doesn't say that he was strong in faith and he praised the Lord, or he praised his glory, or he did something along that line. And so somehow it's interesting that in your faith, that very fact of faith is glorifying to God. I was going to ask for maybe some responses there. In what way does your faith glorify God? Just in the faith itself. Maybe a thought.
It's a testimony to those around us.
Okay, a testimony to those around us. Good. Okay. Any other thoughts there? Yes.
It shows that you're trusting in him and believing him.
Okay, so you're trusting in him, that you're just saying, God, you say that, and I believe it. And that, I think that in itself glorifies God. Do you have another thought there, Don?
What I'm thinking is not so much a public testimony, but just an internal testimony that you believe God.
Right, and yes.
You know, this is what I believe.
Yes. Yeah, good. So I think our faith, if it's true, that it will eventually be demonstrated so other can see it, and that glorifies God. But I think the concept here is more about through just my fact that I'm believing what God has stated about himself, that glorifies God. You remember when at the cross, and it says that when the centurion said, truly he was, one gospel says he's the Son of God, another one said he was a righteous man, that both of those, and in fact in one of them it says that he glorified God, saying, truly this was a righteous man. I think that's the one where, and so just the fact that we say the right things and think the right things and believe the right things about God glorifies him. If no one else ever sees that, now they will, but if no one else ever sees it, the very fact that you're praying, as I mentioned last week, your very fact that you pray is a fact that glorifies God. Okay, now there's much more we need to do. You know, don't just say, okay, well, I glorify God, therefore that's it. No, there's more, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, to all to the glory of God. So I just wrote down, when you believe what God has revealed about himself and his word, that glorifies God. When you trust his promises as you make decisions in life, that glorifies God. So as it says here, he was strong in faith. And as your faith grows, every time it grows, it glorifies God in a greater way, because it allows, I think strong faith is the reality of God influences what I decide in my life. of how I look at things and how I go about my day and the decisions I make. It influences all that. So as we look at Abraham, and I'm not sure how far we'll get, like I said, there's a testimony here, not of self-promotion or self-dependence, but of faith and dependence on God. So we'll start in verse 17 and down through here in two aspects of faith. We'll see how far we get, that we all need so that we can glorify God. So first of all, the focus of faith, and number one, I would say the Word of God. Okay, that's one of the focuses on faith. But I put it down this way, the Word of God about His will. So in verse 17, it begins there, as it is written, excuse me, I have made thee a father of many nations. And that's a quotation from Genesis 17. And it says there after that, right after the end of the parentheses there, it says, before him whom he believed, even God. So God made this statement, and it says that Abraham believed it. And then you get to verse 18, and it says the same thing again. Who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations. So he believed what God had said. You're going to be a father of many nations. I believe that. And so I just put it, you believe God's word about his will. Now let me ask you a question. How did Abraham have the word of God? Now we have it here in the written record, the written revelation, the Bible. How did Abraham have it? Yeah, probably he's spoken, that he was speaking to him more directly, and so the very word of God, that he trusted that, and so you and I we won't hear, but we have a written revelation that God has given to us, and we trust it, we believe it. And so that, I don't know how to put it, but that's just the first point. So the word of God about his will, you just believe what God reveals about himself in the Bible. Just believe it. If God says he's infinite, then you say, wow, I don't understand that, but I believe that. If God says he's infinitely holy, then you say, wow, I believe that. If God says he loves and he's present with me right now, then I need to just believe that. And so every time God says something about himself and his word, it's just like he's coming up to you, and I just want you to know I'm with you at this. I'm with you as you go to the dentist. So when he says that, you just say, okay, I'm going to believe it. That glorifies him, because you're all of a sudden you're magnifying in the sense of what is God like? And that honors him, that pleases him, and that glorifies him. And so he's going to guide us as we make up our mind based on the reality of God. So number one, the word of God. So the focus of faith is on the word of God. The second thing, I'm going to call it the power of God. So at the beginning, or later on in verse 17, as he continues on, before him who he believed, even God, and then it gives it a description here. But before I look at that description, I would say it this way. So the word of God, and then I forget if I gave you the second point, the power of God to fulfill his word. So the word of God tells you, here's God's will. And then as you look at that, there's a second thing that our faith is focused on, and that would be the power of God to do what he just said. In other words, you could know all about the word of God, and then think, oh, well, that's good, and it's all academics. I was reading something the other day about, I think I shared with you, how there are people that write books about the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible that they're writing about. They just don't believe. They don't believe it's true. They don't believe Jesus is Savior. They don't believe that there was a God who parted the sea. They don't believe any of that, but they write about it. And sometimes you can get ideas because they know the language real good, the original languages, and they're but they have no sense of faith. And you go, wow. But they know what it says, but they don't believe what it says because they don't believe the God behind who said it. And so that's the second thing, the power of God to fulfill it. And I think that comes to us as we get to know God better and better personally. Okay, that you get to know what he's like and what he says on that personal level. And I think that's really very important when it comes to believing the person who has all this power to do what he says he would do. So think about it on a human level. When you believe what a person says, it's more than just believing that those words are true. You believe what they say because you believe that person. Yeah, you trust the person who said it. That's why you believe the words. So you may believe the words, but you believe them because of the person who said it. And so I think that's a normal way. And so if all things are, I don't know how to say, if all things were equal, if someone you love doesn't believe what you say or trust what you promise, that hurts. when they are not willing to listen. Now, there may be reasons, and that needs to be taken care of. But if all things are good, when someone you love doesn't believe or trust you, it hurts. And I'm thinking, how does God feel? Because he loves us intensely. And when you or I do not believe what he says or trust his power to fulfill what he says, I think it hurts our God. I think it hurts the Lord. That's why over in Hebrews 11:6, on the opposite side, it says faith, you know, without faith it's impossible to please him. The other way to say it, it does please him. When you have faith, when you believe what he says. And so I think that trust, that we trust God, grows out of that personal relationship. Hey, I know who God is. I have a personal relationship. He saved me. He loves me. I love him. And we're growing in that relationship, or I am anyway. And so I think the better you know God, the greater your faith will be. And remember Abraham, as it says here, he had great faith. But he's also, in the Bible, he's called the friend of God. And I think that's where his great faith came from, because he was walking with God. So look at what Abraham believed about God here in verse number 18. Two things there. God can quicken what used to be, or make alive what used to be. So he says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Oh, no, I'm reading the wrong one. Verse 17, I'm sorry. Who believed even God, right at the end of the verse, who quickeneth the dead. And so Abraham, he believed God can make alive what was dead. And I call it resurrection power. God's the maker of life, and he can overcome anything that's dead. And that's important when you look at verse 19. What are two dead things that are mentioned in verse 19? His own body now dead. In other words, he could not father a child. And what else was dead?
Sarah's womb.
She could not mother a child. Or, you know, they there was no way, they had no ability to bring about parenthood. They could not conceive a child. And yet, Abraham says, I'm still going to believe. Because God's one that can raise the dead. What else, in thinking of Abraham's life, and this is not even my outline, but where else in Abraham's life did he demonstrate, or at least Hebrews 11 tells us, that he believed in the resurrection, though he'd never seen one ever before? Anybody remember? Yeah, son Isaac. It says in Hebrews, he says he was going to do what God said, to take his life, because he believed that God would raise him from the dead. Why did he believe that? Because God never said, I'm going to raise your son from the dead. Never said that to him at all. Why would that even cross his mind? Anybody know? Why would he even think that? That was great. Gary raised his hand and a voice came over here. Yeah, the only way there was a promise that God gave. And because Abraham thought God gave a promise, therefore he will do it. Therefore I'm going to obey, because I'm always supposed to obey what he says. So I'll obey him. I'll let him figure out how he's going to make my descendants. But I believe he said, this is the one. So it's Isaac. And if I take him, then God has to raise him back to life, because he made a promise. So Abraham had great faith, and in that faith he glorified God, because he said God's able to quicken that which used to be. And then the second thing there, as he continue on there in that verse 17, and he's also, he quickeneth the dead, which means to make alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So God can quicken what used to be, and then God can create what never has been. So I call it God's creative power. Just as in the beginning, he can make anything out of nothing. He just speaks. And so Abraham believed that God had that creative power. Maybe he's thinking of Sarah's womb in that. I don't know for sure, but he just believed that God would and could fulfill an impossible promise. We're all dead, but God can make it alive. This can't happen, but God can make it happen, because he made a promise. And so Abraham's faith was, I put Abraham's faith in God's power was directly related to God's promise. In other words, the display of God's power is to fulfill what he said he would do. And, you know, so in that very fact, when you talk about faith, it's not nebulous. It's not just, oh, whatever. I just think God can do great things, and he can. But what is the great things he does? It's what he said he would do. So it's a promise. So when you have things like Mark chapter 11, verse 24, where it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And you go, wow, All I need is faith. Well, yes, but what is the faith for? Is that just a random to say God says if you just ask for candy when you go into the store, you don't need any money? Is that what he's saying? No. It's based on his promise, based on his truth. And he says, if that's the foundation of your faith, what you're looking for, all you have to do is believe and you'll receive. But there's got to be a promise. There's got to be a word there. And so it's the faith in God and his power to fulfill his word is the focus of faith. So you look at God, what he said, what he can do. Let me just share one other thought here. And the second thing, so the focus of faith and then the features about faith. Faith has confidence that God will do his will, and that's sort of what I already said, but that's how faith works in verse 18 and then verse 21, where it says that, he says, who against hope believed in hope? Abraham's circumstances were not very hopeful. He had no children. He was dead. His wife was dead as far as the ability to pass on and make another generation. So it was all impossible, but he believed against that discouragement. He believed and he had a sure hope that God would do what he said he would do. And I just thought it was interesting. I thought, when I was reading through this, I thought, Abraham believed in hope. You know, because you could just pull that out. This is where context is so important. He believed in hope. Believed in hope. Is biblical faith, is it just saying, okay, I have hope for something will change. I have hope for a better tomorrow. I have hope for a raise in my job. I have hope for whatever it happens to be. Is that what God's talking about, to believe in hope? No, it's trusting what God has said. I just said believe whatever you hope for. What there's a bumper sticker where it says something like. Just believe in a better tomorrow. I forget what it's saying, but, if we all believe the same thing, it's surely going to happen. That's the hope of the secularists. But he believed that God would fulfill his promise, and that gave him hope. And that's biblical hope. To believe the power of God will work to fulfill what he promises to do. So you can have confidence in the living God that he will stand behind what he says. So if you forget everything else, I'll just end with that thought. When you read your Bible, understand that this book is not a magical book filled with powerful words. It's truthful words that are powerful because they're backed up by the living God. That's why the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So when I was young, if I went over to my friend's house and his dad said something to him about, you better get your room cleaned up by the time I get back or you're in big trouble. Well, those words aren't to me, so they wouldn't really make a difference. But if my dad said, I want this done before I come home, and then he leaves and I know he's going to be gone for 3 hours, so I go fool around for, 2 hours and 45 minutes. Well, then I'm going to be in trouble. That shows that I'm not thinking his words are living and powerful. The reason they're living and powerful is because there's a dad behind them that will enforce them to the very last letter. And therefore, I need to do what I'm supposed to do. Folks, God's word is powerful because there's a God that will do everything he said. And he's living. He's alive. So again, God's word is very powerful because they're truthful and they'll be fulfilled by what God says. So that's why verse 21, where Abraham, it says, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able, had the ability, had the power also to perform. And so remember, faith is confident that God will always do his will. So let's remember that tonight as we leave. The Bible, as you read it, remember, you can say, wow, that's true. And God will back it up. He will always fulfill what he says. Father, thank you for this evening and thank you for your truth. We pray you'd help us to know it. And then, Lord, help us to trust it. And we pray that we could, in that trust, be as Abraham. And Lord, we will. If we trust your word and act upon it, Lord, it will glorify you because it magnifies the reality of who you are and what you've promised. So Lord, help us always to realize you are backing up everything you say. Help us to trust it. Help us to believe it. Help us to live it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.